I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 23, and that is page 860 in your pew Bible. Luke chapter 23, we're going to begin reading with verse 44 and read through verse 49. Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 44, page 860. Let's stand together this morning as we read God's Word together. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, while the sun's lights failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breast. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Today we're closing out this series that we have been on for the last 7 months, the first Sunday of every month. We have looked at these sayings of Christ on the cross. The first one was this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The second one was Jesus' comment, his words to the thief who was beside him, hanging on the cross, when he said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The third remark was to his mother and John, who were standing at the foot of the cross, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." The fourth one was when Jesus cried out to his Father as darkness covered the earth, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The fifth one was when Jesus began to share what was going on in his own physical body at this moment as he neared death, when he said two words, "I thirst." The sixth one was when Jesus recognized that the work he had been sent to accomplish, the task he had been given, the mandate from the Father had been accomplished, and he said, "It is finished." So today we look at the final words of Christ from the cross. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." The word "commend" is the Greek word parathithemi, and it means to place beside or near or set before, to deposit, to entrust, to commit to one's charge. So literally, Jesus was saying, "Father, into your hands, beside your hands, beside your presence, right beside you, I am commending, I am committing my life." It's interesting that this is a quote from Psalm 31. And Psalm 31 begins with the psalmist declaring that he is confident God is going to deliver him from all his trouble. Listen to the words. "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Keep me free from the traps that are set before me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God." I find it so interesting that Jesus takes the last verse of this psalm and the introduction of this psalm, the beginning words of this psalm, are the psalmist declaring to God that you are going to deliver me. You're going to deliver me from what my enemies are trying to do for me. You're going to deliver me from every trap that's been set before me. You're my rock. You're my refuge. And yet Jesus does not choose to quote that part of the verse. He does not ask God to deliver him from what he's going through. He does not ask God to save him, to rescue him from what he's going through. He is not asking God to be my strong refuge, to be my fortress. He is not saying to God, keep me free from this trap that's been set for me. That is not his request. His request is this: into your hands I commit my spirit. That is the beauty of commitment. That is the beauty of what the Bible said of commending your spirit. As God's son, he could have demanded the fulfillment of the first part of that psalm. Because you see, Jesus' life was in his own hands. It was his decision of how his life would end. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 3, so Judas came to the garden guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I am he, Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. And now listen to this next part. When Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. The power that he had to save his own life. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 49, going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, do what you came for, friend. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. And now listen to the next part. Jesus said, do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? A legion was 12,000 troops. So Jesus is saying, all I have to do is call on the Father, and he'll send 144,000 angels to deliver me. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And now listen what else Jesus said in John chapter 19, beginning in verse 10, as he stands before Pilate. Pilate said to Jesus, don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given you from above. So Jesus quotes the last phrase of a psalm. A psalm that was a declaration by the psalmist over the rescuing, redeeming, saving power of God. And Jesus refuses to say to the Father, be my fortress, be my refuge, be my rescuer, save me from these traps they've set before me. He refused to say that. The only part he said was this, Father, I commit my life, my spirit into your hands. Paul understood this type of commitment. Near the end of his life, he writes his final letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. James understood this type of commitment. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. That type of commitment that Jesus modeled for us, that type of commitment that says, regardless of what happens, regardless of whether things turn out the way I want them to or not, I am committed. I am all in. I am fully devoted. My relationship with Christ is not based upon what I'm going to get out of it. It's not based upon the blessings that I think I ought to have or what I think I should, what should take place in my life. No, regardless of what happens, I'm committed. Jesus could have demanded justice. He could have demanded allegiance. He could have demanded submission. He could have demanded deliverance from the cross. But instead, He chose to commit Himself into God's hands. So today I'm calling on us, as we come to this altar, to come to this altar today as an act of commitment, of saying to God, regardless of what the future holds, regardless of what is in store, regardless of what happens, I have committed my life to Christ. There is no looking back. There is no reconsidering my decision. I am all in, and God willing, if Jesus tarries 10 years from now, I'll still be all in. I'm committing myself to His will. I'm committing myself to His plan. I'm committing myself to His purpose for my life. That is what sustains us when things don't work out the way we planned. That is what sustains us when people disappoint us. That is what sustains us when someone hurts us deeply. That is what sustains us when our world implodes. We may step back in the magnitude of it, but we step back and say, I am still committed to God. I am still all in. Nothing is going to shake my commitment to God. James Calvert was a Methodist missionary who was sent out in the year 1838 along with his wife and a few other people, and were sent to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands to preach to them the gospel of Christ. When he landed on the island, the captain of the ship that brought them there tried to get them to turn back. He pleaded with James Calvert. He said, "You will die here. Your wife will die here. The men who have come with you, you will all die here. Come back. Go back to England. Don't stay." Calvert paused for just a moment and said these few words to the captain, "We died before we came here." Let that sink in. We died before we came here. Commitment. Jesus died before He ever was laid on the cross. He had already determined in His heart and in His spirit that I'm going to hold on and I'm going to persevere and I'm going to see this to the end. Before Jesus ever cried out, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit," He had already done so. He had already made that commitment. We are living in a time and we are heading into a greater time in which your commitment and my commitment to the cause of Christ is going to be challenged. And the ones who are one foot in and one foot out, the ones who are just kind of in and out, depending upon how things are going, the ones who are half committed are not going to stand. We're going to be called upon to determine and to examine what is the foundation of my relationship with Christ. Have I built my relationship with Christ on the rock? So as we come to this altar this morning and we take that bread that represents His broken body and that cup that represents His shed blood, let His words echo in our spirit today. Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. And when we kneel at this altar and we gaze at that cross, let it emanate from our hearts and our spirits as well. Father, I commit my life. I commit my spirit into Your hands. There is no turning back. So, Father, today, may we again hear the words of Your Son Jesus, who said, Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. Into Your hands I place my spirit. He'd made a commitment, and He was seeing that commitment all the way to the end. May we be people, Lord, who take our commitment to You seriously, who say, Lord, this is not just something I do on Sunday. You are the center, the core, the apex, the very life of my life. And I pray as we come to this altar today, may this altar be a place today of commitment and recommitment to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.